Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsythe. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
The song that we'll be singing this morning is entitled Resting Place. I don't know about you. Maybe you sort of drug in here this morning and you need just a little bit of rest. Tell you what, the church home, the church family, this sanctuary that we gather today really should be a resting place for you. Amen. You should be able to find the energy, the strength that you need for this next week. By the way, today is the first day of the week, right? It's not the last. We're not dragging into church on the last day of the week. This is the starting of the week. The song will be a little bit familiar, but just listen to the words and think about the rest that each of our souls need this morning.
Found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Enough for me that Jesus saves, lessens my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he'll never cast me out.
I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written. Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
There is no other resting place. You'll find peace nowhere else. Through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where peace comes. That's where purpose comes, through him. That's where rest comes in this troubled world that we live in. Glad you're saved today. Rejoicing in the Lord. We should be happy in Christ. Amen. We should be thankful for all the blessings he bestows upon us.
Amen.
So good to see each of you. Thank you for being here. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being with us today. We trust you'll be blessed by coming to be with us. And a beautiful Lord's Day, is it not?
Amen.
Is it not? The title of the message for today is Our Focus in the Christian Life. What should our focus be in this life as a Christian? When we name the name of Jesus Christ, when we're saved and born again, my friends, we have another life to live. We have another purpose in life. We have a focus that we are continually to follow and stare upon or look at, so forth and so on. So our focus in the Christian life. Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Two verses very familiar to you. I want to take a look at those today. Philippians chapter 3, looking at verses 13 and 14. Thank you, Liz. Verse 13, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians at Philippi. And he says this, brethren, aren't you thankful for the family of God?
Amen.
We're brethren, we're sisters in the Lord, we are family. Never forget that. We are family together. Brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In verse 14, he says this, and this is his focus in life. This is his purpose in life. This is his life as a Christian, and it should be ours as well. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, you have a high calling. You have a high life to live. You have a high path to travel. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and came to this earth. God in the flesh voluntarily went to a cross, shed his blood upon the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Was buried 3 days, 3 nights, but he rose again the third day to redeem us, to justify us, to declare us righteous before God. And we thank you that one day we made a decision, understanding we were a sinner before God, born in sin, but that God loves us, not willing that any should perish. And so God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, came to the earth to pay for our sins, to redeem us from our sins before a holy God. We thank you, Father, that we have the Word of God. We pray that you would take this word and use it in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you for every person here. And we pray, Father, as we meet, that you would be honored and glorified in our thoughts, in our attention, in why we're here. We're here not to just fellowship and say hey to one another, but we're here to hear the word of God. And we pray now that you would bless the word to our hearts, to our lives, and meet our needs, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. And all God's people said, amen. As a Christian, the Apostle Paul, he says here, had learned to be content. Now that's a nice word, isn't it? Are you content in your life? Are you content right now in your heart? Are you content down in your soul? Do you have peace? Do you have peace? By the way, the word content means to be in a state of satisfaction. To be in a state of satisfaction. Are you satisfied in life? Satisfied with your relationship with God? Are you satisfied with the life you live? Are you satisfied? Are you in a state of satisfaction? It also means having peaceful happiness. Do you have peaceful happiness today? Are you contented today? Are you in the right place today? Do you have the peace of God in your heart today? I trust that you're content. But Paul says here, as a Christian, he says, I have learned to be content. I have learned to be in a state of satisfaction no matter my circumstances. I have in my heart, in my life, peaceful happiness. And by the way, that's the way Christians are to be. Amen? We're to grow to that place. He learned. It takes learning to do that. It takes trusting to do that. It takes faith to do that. He was content with material things in life. He was not governed in his life by circumstances. If you look at chapter 4, verse 11, he says this. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, as far as my life is concerned on this earth, I have no want, for I have learned, again, the word learned. I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be, and again, the word what? Content. I've learned to be in a state of satisfaction. I've learned to have peaceful happiness in my heart, in my life, and in my soul. However, we find in this passage that Paul was not content and is never content with his spiritual accomplishments, his spiritual life, his spiritual accomplishments. If you look at verse 13, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. That word apprehended means to I have seized everything with my mind. I know it all, basically. It's talking about having full light. He's saying here, I have not apprehended. I don't have full light. So therefore, he is not content with his spiritual life, his spiritual accomplishments. What he's saying is, there's more to accomplish. I have not arrived yet. I don't know everything I'm supposed to know. Now, I pause here to say there are many Christians think they're satisfied with their spiritual life. What I mean by that? Well, you know, I'm saved for a while. I've been in church and it's all kind of routine now. And, you know, I've got everything I need. And we got folks that say they don't need preaching anymore, so they don't attend preaching all the time. We've got folks that say they don't need teaching anymore, so you never find them in a teaching class to learn anything about the Bible. So you'll not learn everything from this pulpit about the Bible. That's why God ordained teaching. So that you could spend some time. And by the way, teaching classes and Sunday school classes are to be for teaching the Word of God. Not the matter of just sharing opinions and my thoughts and this thought or that thought. Give the teacher time to teach the Word. Say amen.
Amen.
They need time to teach the Word. That's what they're there for. We're supposed to learn the Word of God. But he says in verse 13, he says, I know I have not arrived. And let me say this, not one of you have arrived either. I haven't arrived either. But what we do in our Christian lives, we get to a place where we're stagnant. We don't think I need to learn anymore. I've heard all the preaching. I've heard this and I've heard that. And I've, you know, I'm used to it. I know what the service is going to be. And so therefore, I don't need anymore. There's a lot of folks in that condition. As we would say, you know, Paul says, I have not arrived. I do not know it all. I still spiritually have a further need. And again, I mentioned the fact that that's a problem with many Christians. We cease to grow. We cease to learn more. We cease to do more. We're just satisfied with, I'm saved. I go to church, that satisfies my religious obligations, and so I'm good. That's all I want. There's nothing else in their lives involved in spirituality for the most part. I don't know how much you pray, but I know we have problems praying. I know you don't read your Bible. You read your Bible, but I don't know just how much you read your Bible, or how you really study your Bible, or whether you just read one page little devotional book that takes 5 minutes and there's nothing else. We need to learn. We need to grow. And it's a state of continual growth. It's a state of continual learning. I've studied this book now for a lot of years. When I read it again, I come across things that I didn't see before. My mind opens up. My heart opens up. And I say, wow, that's new to me. This book, you'll never fathom it. You'll never get to the bottom of it. Amen? So always remember that and always stay in it. Well, this is what Paul is saying. Paul then declares that he has, and he lists what he has as far as he has this purpose, he says. Paul then declares he has one purpose. He has one ambition. He has one goal. And he mentions what they are. He says his purpose, his ambition, his goal is forget those things which are behind. Forget the past. Many people live lives today in the present troubled by the past. Somehow they can't get past the past. Mom and Dad hurt me when I grew up, so now I'm just crippled for life. Hogwash. Is that a good statement? Anyway, some folks don't know what a hog is. Especially, how in the world would you wash one? Hogwash. But we do. We live in the past. We let things govern us from the past. We let past failures govern us. As far as a Christian is concerned, things in our lives and so forth that defeat us. And so that bothers us. Paul declares, I have this one purpose, one ambition, and that is to forget those things which are in the past. They don't matter. Forget the failures of the past. Forget the missteps in the past. Forget the sins of the past. Forget the mistakes of the past. They're frozen in history, folks. You can't change them. And yet they still govern what we do so much of the time. I failed. I'm no good. Whatever it is, I've been defeated or somebody hurt my feelings and I can't get over it. Forget the past. But also, forget the accomplishments of the past. Forget the successes of the past. You know, a lot of us have led a lot of people to the Lord. A lot of us have, you know, lived good, godly lives. A lot of us have been faithful in serving the Lord in church and using their spiritual gifts to help the body of Jesus Christ. People have been really busy, many of them. And they have many successes in the Christian life. But don't let that govern today. We're supposed to continue to have successes. Amen? Amen? We're supposed to continue to reach out, continue to win people, continue to study, and so forth and so on. I had a leader in the church one time. He came up to me one day and he told me, he said, Pastor, I'm quitting a lot of things I'm doing in the church. And I said, why? What's the problem? Well, he said, no problem. He said, I'm just going to stop doing all the things I've been doing or a lot of the things I've been doing in the church. He said, because I've done my share. I said, really? I've done my share, he said, and it's time for others to do it now. Well, that's the attitude of a lot of people, I'm afraid. We don't stop serving Jesus Christ. We continue serving Jesus Christ. I don't know how old you are or how physically things may be bothering you and so forth and so on. You do not stop serving Jesus Christ. You continue in church as you can. You continue to pray as you can. You continue to read your Bible as you can. You continue to call people. You continue to pray for people. You stay involved in the work of the Lord. But we don't sit back and say, well, I've done great things in the past, and so now I'm going to take my rest. That doesn't happen in the Christian life. Paul plans to reach forward, he says. He said, now forget the past. That's all going to be put behind me. I'm not going to be defeated by anything in the past or all my accomplishments in the past or who I was or what my heritage was, etc. He said, I'm moving forward. From this moment on, I'm moving forward. That is, he is now changing. He's going to put his focus on things that are ahead. He's going to put his focus on the privileges. He's going to put his focus on the responsibilities of being a Christian and of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. To worship, he purposed in his heart, as he's going to now, he's making that decision, I'm going to forget all that's in the past. I'm moving forward to things that are ahead. You know, he said, I'm going to worship God as he would have me worship God. I'm going to serve God as he would have me serve him. I'm going to grow in character and stronger as he would have me to grow. I'm going to grow in wisdom as God would have me to grow in wisdom. I'm going forward. There's no place to stop, folks. You're to continue to go forward. He describes himself as a runner in a race. He says, I'm like a runner in a race. I'm getting on track. I'm beginning to run and go forward. You know, we have the race, the Christian race, the Christian life race described for us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You remember what it says? As a believer in Jesus Christ who is saved and on the racetrack of a spiritual life in this world, yeah, he says you're to lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets you. We're not to be weighted down with the things of the world and sin and so forth. And we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, every Christian here is in this race. Every Christian here is on the spiritual racetrack. He's on the Christian life racetrack. Every Christian here, every person here. And we're to run, do away with any weights that would hinder us, anything in the world that would hinder us, anything in the flesh that would hinder us. Any issue that would keep us from running that race, and by the way, you're to run that race to win it. Amen. Huh? What does that mean? You run the race to win it. What would that mean? Huh? That means you're running as hard as you can. You're running the race to win it. To win it. You're running as hard as you can run. It's hard to get that energy up sometime, isn't it? It's hard to keep that breath going sometimes. We get weary. We get tired. We want to quit. We want to step aside. We want to rest. We want to do this. We want to do that. No. You're to run that race to win it. You run that race as hard as you can run it. It also tells us to run with patience in the race. Because there will be a lot of things after you that would keep you from running as hard as you can run. And you're to run the race focused, right? What are you focused on? You're focused on the end of the race. Amen? You're focused on the finish line. You're to run the Christian life race. You're to run it as hard as you possibly can in serving God, serving Jesus Christ, being the Christian you ought to be. And you're running that race just as hard as you can run it. But you must run it with patience. And you must keep your mind and heart focused on the end, on the finish line. Now, what's the end, by the way? What's the finish line of this race? It is Jesus Christ. You keep your eyes fixed upon him. You're running toward him as fast as you can go, doing the best you can along the way. Because he is the author of our faith. Amen? Amen. That means he began, in him we began the race. He is the author of our faith. He is the beginning or the beginner of the race. We get saved, we know Christ, he puts us on this racetrack. And he said, there's a track, here's a path you're to run, and it's, by the way, straight and narrow. And you get on that path and you run it as hard as you can run it, keeping your eyes focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the end of the race. So he is the beginning of the race. But it also says he is the finisher of our faith. He's the finisher of the race. When you get to him, it's done. the race is over. But it's not over until you get to him. Amen?
Amen.
This all makes sense to you?
Amen.
How many of you it makes sense to? Raise your hand. Now, those of you, raise your hand if it doesn't. Paul, our example here, he sets himself to reach the goal. And what is his goal? He says it very clearly. What is the goal of Paul in his life and running this race? He said, the goal is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. High. That means above everything else. We're to live a life that's high. We run a race that's high. We have a high calling. In Jesus Christ, you have a special calling. In Jesus Christ, you have a high calling. The purpose in your life is to love him. The purpose in your life is to serve him. The purpose in your life is to glorify him. Do you believe that as a Christian today?
Amen.
That's what your purpose is. It's not just to be saved, go to heaven, and now I'm going to enjoy the world as much as I can. I'm going to involve myself in all the events and issues and so forth of the life of this world because I want to get all I can from it, eat, drink, and be merry because I don't have much time on this earth. No, you don't have much time on this earth. But the time you have on this earth, you're supposed to spend to honor and glorify Jesus Christ and do his work upon this earth.
Amen.
Amen. We are so involved in issues of life and issues of the world that we don't have time for God. We're so busy trying to make ourselves comfortable and be successful in life that we really don't have time to serve God. He's really not a big priority in most of our lives, honestly. He's not a real big priority in our lives. So Paul says, he sets himself to reach the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As told here, we are to focus on the, as I mentioned, the finish line. We're to focus on the end of the race. And we are to run as hard as we can run to the end of the race and finish it. Now, what's the prize? The prize is given for running the race as hard as you can, and the awards are given out at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the goal of Paul? What should be your goal in life as a believer? The goal is, again, the high calling of God. Now, what is the high calling of God? The high calling of God is everything involved in the Christian life. The high calling of God is to obey all the commands that he gives us in the scripture. The high calling of God is to do all the commands and the things he tells us to do. We have a tendency to look at God's word and say, well, I'll choose to do this, but I don't want to do that. We need to totally, as been preached here, we need to totally submit to the will of God.
Amen.
I mean totally. Nothing held back. It's like our heart has all these rooms in it. And these rooms are filled not with Jesus Christ and his purpose in life. These rooms in our hearts are filled with different things in life that we want to pursue. The Lord Jesus Christ might have one little closet somewhere. He's supposed to have it all. The goal is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everything involved in the Christian life. Everything that involves God in our lives, his will in our lives, what he wants us to do in our lives. First of all, he wants us to be saved. Aren't you thankful for salvation?
Amen.
Aren't you thankful somebody took time to come to you and tell you about Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Invited you to church, gave you a tract. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
And I say that a lot, but folks, we ought to rejoice in that fact that somebody came and shared Christ with us. And our life was changed and we were put on a new path. First thing God's will is for us is to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest, he says. Also, the goal and the high calling of God involves the Christian life. It involves being saved, number one. And I trust every person listening to me knows Jesus Christ as Savior. I trust there's been a time and a place in your life when you received Christ and you were transformed into a new creature. Old things passed away, all things become new. You lived a different life after you received Christ. You don't go back and do the sinful things you used to do. Those stop. They're repented from. They're turned away from. You then turned the other direction. What's that? You turn to the church. You turn to baptism. You turn to serving Jesus Christ. You turn to studying the Bible so you can know what God wants you to do. Amen. Amen. So the goal of the high calling of God is to be saved. Know Jesus Christ in salvation. The goal in the high calling of God is serving the Lord, as he clearly tells us to and how. The goal of the high calling of God is being separated from the world and separated from sin. Does the Bible teach separation? Yes, it does. Does this church believe in separation? Yes, it does. Read your constitution. We're to be separate, different people from the world. We're saved. The high calling of God involves building the church of Jesus Christ upon this earth. This is the body of Christ. The church is. Church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We are in the business, and the high calling of God is building the church of Jesus Christ. Is building the body of Jesus Christ. Now, we touch on this and we talk about it. We talk about soul winning. We talk about witnessing. Should we?
Amen.
You answer me. Should we be winning souls?
Amen.
Should we be witnessing to people?
Amen.
Should we be giving out tracts?
Amen.
Yes, because that's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're to be building the church, the body of Jesus Christ. We're to be building it. And the high calling of God is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says here, and he knew that he had not yet arrived, and neither have we. Remember that. You will never get there. So he forgets the past, which is frozen in history. He reaches forward to what's ahead, and we are to do the same. Amen? We are to do the same. We're to follow Paul's example. You know, racing is always an exciting thing, isn't it? Track racing is exciting. Car racing is exciting. Horse racing, you could just name it all. It excites people. Hebrews tells us, if you are a Christian, you are in a life's spiritual race, as we said, and you are to have all the weights of the world put aside that may hinder you. By the way, the most exciting parts of a race are at the beginning and at the end. Is that true?
Yes.
Why is the beginning kind of exciting? Because they jump out, they can get ahead of other people, they can position themselves, and sometimes those that position themselves at the beginning win the race. Amen?
Amen.
But also we know that the ending of the race is really exciting, isn't it? And that's obvious as to why. Who's going to win it? As a Christian, you may have had a bad start in running the race of the Christian life. It could be that you've had a bad start. It didn't start out well for you. You weren't positioned very good as you began this race. So what I would suggest to you, and that's what we're in this text for, is for us to start anew. No matter the past. Like Paul said, no matter what's happened in the past. The good in the past, the failures in the past, forget them. Start fresh, start new, and start right now. Start right now running the race that you should run. You may have had a bad start. You may have been distracted. You may have been weighted down. You may have had worries and cares of the world. You may have been disobedient to God. You might have sinned against Him. But start afresh. Start brand new. Forget the past. Begin now, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, how should we do that? Let me give you some suggestions right quick, if I can. Number one, by getting on track, you must establish spiritual goals in life. Let me ask you this. What kind of goals personally do you have as a Christian to serve God, be obedient to Him, to honor Him? What goals do you have? Do you have goals set that you know, that you think about? Do you have them written down? By the way, you should. Write them down. Help you remember them. Amen. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have goals as a Christian that you want to accomplish in your Christian life? I would suggest to you that not too many. Not too many. You need to have goals if you plan to get anywhere. Pressing toward the mark, Paul says, of the high calling of God is what's involved in being a Christian believer. Pressing toward the mark. As a Christian, we have a divine call to be separate from the ways of the world, to be a heavenly people on earth, to honor the Lord in all things. How many of you believe you're supposed to honor the Lord in everything? Everything now. He's to be glorified and honored in everything. That's every place you go, everything you do, so forth, so on. Repeat this verse with me. Let me quote it for you. Whether therefore, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, familiar again, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is that what God tells us to do as a Christian? Now, what's He said? Quote this with me, and let's change it just a little bit. Say this with me. Whether therefore. Whether therefore I eat. Whether therefore I drink. Whether therefore or whatsoever I do. I do all to the glory of God. Amen. 1 John 2:3 says this, and hereby do we know that we know God. That is, if we keep His commandments. Say that with me. And hereby we do know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. Amen. It's an important thing, folks, that we understand that we have a divine call to be separate from the world and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, and our goal is to stay focused on the finish line and running as hard as we can run with no distractions toward and focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can learn some things from the cults. You remember Sun Yin Moon, the Unification Church? Their followers were sent out everywhere. Did you ever meet one of those? Sometimes you're in airports or public places or whatever. I was in a shopping center one day, and this young girl came up to me and wanted me to buy a flower for the church. I said, no, I'm not buying a flower for the Unification Church. She kept after me, just on and on, and I finally had to just drive away. Now, the Unification Church, they sent those followers out with a certain number of flowers to be sold, and they could not return until they were all sold. They had a goal, is what I'm trying to say. They had a goal that they wanted to accomplish. Do we have goals that we want to accomplish for Jesus Christ? Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they are sent out as well, and they're sent out with an amount of literature to be passed out. And that's why they will insist on you taking their literature. Always refuse it. Never take it. But anyway, those are just some lessons that we can learn. Why? These folks have goals. They have certain things they want to accomplish, so they set goals. You're to go out and deliver this much literature. You're to go out and give out and sell this many flowers. The point here is they have goals to meet. And no one, let's remember this, no one achieves goals. No one achieves anything without goals. What are your goals for serving Jesus Christ? Being faithful at Sunday morning service? What about Sunday night service? You have a goal for that? Faithful, what about Wednesday night service? Are you faithful to that? What about the outreach and visitation when they went out like yesterday and saw some folks? Think you ought to be involved in that? What do you think? Yep. These are goals, folks, that you need to set. You need to have and be a part of. There's more, we do more planning and setting goals for a trip to go somewhere on vacation than we ever do to serve Jesus Christ. Have you thought about that? We'll do more planning and more set more goals if we're going to go on vacation and take a trip than we do in serving Jesus Christ for the most part. Because Christians lack goals, they do not know where they're going and where they'll end up. You plan a trip. You cover all the details. You're going to find out where you're going to go, where you're going to stay, how you're going to get there, how long you're going to go, what to wear, et cetera, et cetera. What you're going to do when you get there. You've got all this planned. But I'll guarantee you, you've never sat down in your life to plan for serving Jesus Christ with that much detail and that many goals. When it comes to the Christian life, it seems that there's really no plans. There's really no goals set in a Christian's life to serve God. Some goals every Christian ought to have. Let me give you a few goals right quick. Some goals you ought to have as a Christian is to study the Word of God faithfully every day. You learn where to go. You learn how to get there if you study the Bible. You ought to faithfully serve the church. You ought to faithfully serve the church. This is God's institution. It's not a club. It's not just a social organization. This is God's place. God ordained it. God established it. And he tells us, my day is the Lord's day. Should we honor it? Should we be faithful to the Lord on that day? As best as we can. We need to faithfully serve the church. God ordained the church, and he tells us to use the spiritual gifts that he's given you to serve the church, to serve the body. You know, if the church depended on some Christians, we'd have no church. If the church depended upon some Christians, we'd have no Sunday school. If the church depended upon some Christians, we'd have no Sunday night service. You know, when people cease to come, you close it down. When people cease to come on Wednesdays, you close it down. It gets to the point it's not workable. So some Christians, depending upon them, we wouldn't have any of these services. We would have no team program if it was up to some Christians. And we would have no master's clubs if it was up to some Christians. We'd not have a lot of things if it was up to some Christians. Are you getting the point, folks? Yeah. We need to be busy about God's work and get our priorities right. Hebrews 10 says we are to consider one another. That is, we're to be concerned about every other person in the body of Christ, other believers, provoking them to do what? Provoking them to love one another. Provoking them to good works. We ought to be encouraging each other to do good works for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. To do that, you have to be doing it yourself. We ought to faithfully assemble. It ought to be part of our goals. You ought to have a goal to be in church. All services, that should be your goal. faithfully support it in everything you do. You're to build one another up, it says Hebrews 10. Your goal should be to support the church with tithes and offerings. Say amen.
Amen.
I know I put you to sleep. How many of you are awake? Raise your hand. And I know I'm getting late and I'm going to be in trouble. But you ought to support the church with tithes and offerings. We've observed just a little bit. Since we paid the building off, the giving has gone down. Yep. Now, let me mention Faith Promise. I trust that you are planning to support Faith Promise. We're hoping to take on several more missionaries this year. So we're taking a look at it. It's not quite where we need to have it right now, but we don't. A lot of you, I don't know. Maybe you don't fill out the slips. The only way we can know what the budget's going to be is for you to fill out those cards. So what we have to do is wait for 2 or 3 months and see what the income is going to be. Then, based on that, then we can maybe add somebody. You understand what I'm saying? But you need to support the church with tithes and offerings. If you're a Christian, you ought to be doing that. Amen? So be sure and keep that in mind. Another thing, as a Christian, you ought to speak positive things that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. Never be negative. Never be critical. And if you have a problem that's bothering you, you come and see people that you ought to see. You don't be talking to people around their backs and so forth. And you ought to have a goal to witness. A goal to witness. In other words, you make a plan and set a goal in your life to witness for Jesus Christ. Huh? Huh?
Yep.
You have it down in your plan? You got the goal? When you're going to do it? Where you're going to do it? How you're going to do it? You need to. Amen. Need to have that goal. You know, we mentioned it before. Make a goal to set to at least witness to one person a month. Whew. That's a very low goal. But at least put it as a goal that you're going to witness to somebody. You're going to go out of your way somehow to find somebody to witness to one person a month at least. How about that? And you have a goal for prayer. Pray for the lost. Pray for the laborers in God's harvest field. If you don't have goals, folks, you won't accomplish anything. As one person said, I find the great thing in this world is not so much where you stand as in what direction you are moving. What direction are you moving in? Another said, if you don't know where you're going, you may end up someplace else. Another said, not having clear goals leads to confusion and emptiness. Focus precedes success. You've got to have goals. Amen. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, I trust you're open to these thoughts and that you will think about these things and set some goals in your life to serve Jesus Christ. Second thing, right quick, and I'll get through it, is that you must be determined. You must be determined in your heart and your mind to run the race. You must be determined in your heart and your mind to keep your goals. Amen? Amen. Just the other day, they reviewed a Wide World of Sports track meet. It was on across the news, and they were showing reruns of different things in sports that took place. And they showed this one. Worldwide of Sports had a track meet with 15 runners. The stadium was packed with excited spectators. Halfway through the race, a leading runner tripped and fell. And they showed this. He fell on his face. As when he got up off his face, the pack was about half around the track or half lap ahead of him. And he shook himself off. And with great determination, you could see it in him. He said it in his face. He began running like he had never run before. He caught the pack. He passed each runner one by one. And then he came to the final stretch. And he caught all the leaders. And he came to the final stretch. And the crowd went wild as he won the race. Amen? I'm just saying that's an example of determination. Set your heart, set your mind on meeting the goals that you set. Set your mind on running the race as hard as you can run it. There's no shame in stumbling and falling. The shame is when you lie there. Or the shame is when you walk off defeated. Or the shame is when you're feeling sorry for yourself. You know, often self-pity keeps us from winning the race. Somebody tripped me. Somebody hurt my feelings. I've been defeated ever since. Nothing is gained by crying over spilt milk. It's a waste of time. Clean it up and go on. Folks, there are excuses that hinder our running the race. People many times are always looking for an excuse not to run the race of the Christian life. The runner there, he had a perfect excuse, did he not? He had a perfect excuse just to lay there, just to walk off. You know, we find professing Christians everywhere who have a bucket full of excuses for not running to win the race. Visit a lot of people like that. Oh, I got saved back in so-and-so. Well, did you? What church? Oh, yeah, and they knew the church, and they knew all this, and they were doing that, and they were running a bus ministry, and they were doing all these other things, and they did all this stuff. But they're not doing a thing now. And you would say, well, what happened? And they would give you some excuse that somebody offended them. Somebody hurt their feelings. The church made a decision they didn't like. They didn't like the color of the curtains or the carpet or whatever. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it pure crazy? You can find an excuse for everything, folks. And if you want an excuse, the devil will give you a bucket full of them. Here's what Ben Franklin said. The worst buy is an alibi. Don't buy it. He also says the man who is good for excuses is good for nothing else. Thieves excuse themselves because of poverty. Mobs excuse themselves because of lack of civil rights. Rebellious young people excuse themselves because their parents fail them in some way. You can find an excuse for anything. And many Christians look for excuses why they can't run the race, why they can't serve the Lord. May we be determined and know where we're going and how to get there. We are to press forward toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is to be our focus, my friends, in the Christian life. Stand with me for prayer, please. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings upon us, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Paul's example to us. Thank you for the Scriptures that support everything he says here. Lord, we pray, and I pray that you would work in our hearts and our lives, that you would encourage us today, that we would be like Paul, content, in whatever state we're in, to have that inner happiness, that inner peace. And that, Lord, we set our hearts and our minds and our goals upon serving you and upon running this race as best we can, as hard as we can. We ask you to work in our hearts, and Lord, that you would accomplish your will in each life here today. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.